Wow. So where did you, so yeah, maybe we'll have to talk off air about where you got those things.
Oh yeah. 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 We'll go over them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. So how, so today you're on your boat, right?
Yep. I'm on my boat and, we got a new dog. Lucy, come here, bud.
Oh, a new dog. I thought you said doc, but a new dog. Oh my goodness. Look at her. And
as cute as she is, she's actually really fucking sweet. She's like amazing. She's the best dog you could possibly want.
Now, was this your doing or Sarah's?
It was both of ours. Okay. I was the main instigator, but we also got a cat coming in a couple of weeks.
Oh my goodness. That dog is so cute. Little Lucy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She is just absolutely amazing.
That's the best. Okay. So I think I made you co-host so you can, moderate people's volumes or microphones or whatever.
God, I love that power.
I know, it's like a godlike power, isn't it? It's like if you were Klaus Schwab, it would be almost addicting.
It is addicting. I crave the power.
Oh, man. Okay, so it is recording and you are good to go. And yeah, I think we're all good.
Okay, how's Kate and the kids?
Kate and the kids are doing great. Kids are just like growing like crazy, doing great. But now they're going through this 3.5-year-old phase where when she leaves, like she went on a walk this morning, and when she leaves, the kids just complete meltdown, like total meltdown when she leaves. So that's a fun stage to go through.
Yeah. Mom.
Yeah. I'm going to miss mommy, all of that. So, but we're doing great. We're doing great. Healthy, strong, vibrant, no problems, no fears, nothing. We're doing great.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're raising a family in a harsh time.
Oh my gosh. And how is Sarah? Is she doing good?
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah's amazing. That's that, you know, thank you, God.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So I'm going to let you go because I know people have questions already. So I want to,
Okay.
You're all good to go. Thanks, Doc. I really appreciate this, man.
Oh, buddy, this is fun. I look forward to this.
Awesome.
Last week in February, I'm gone from the 16th to the 24th.
Okay, no problem.
So that weekend, I won't be able to do a webinar, so we can do it before or after.
You know what? There's the last Sunday in February is the 27th, so maybe we'll put it on the dashboard. We'll let people know it'll be on the last Sunday of that month.
Oh, bitchin'.
Does that work?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because then I might have some information, because we've got a huge seminar planned with some docs from Beijing too.
Okay.
And I'm going to teach them some techniques, and they want to do it in this like virtual filming where you could like put goggles on and see the hand position and everything.
Oh, wow. Doc, are you going to the metaverse or what's happening here?
More like a normal.
I will be the metaverse.
I will encapsulate the metaverse. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Okay, cool. All right, I think you're good to go, Doc.
Okay, brother.
Awesome. Thanks.
Take care. Have a good Sunday.
All right, you too, my friend.
Okay, so if anybody wants a question, just put your hand up. Terry, you got your hand up, my dear.
Yep, I do.
Good morning.
Been a year since I've seen you.
I know. You look good.
Thanks.
So what's going on, hon?
Okay, well, I've got two questions. I was watching 411 transmission, 411 transmission this week, and you had one question. It was about root canals. Mm-hmm. And I went to the dentist this last week to get my teeth cleaned, and they did all the x-rays, and he proceeded to tell me that I needed a root canal and possibly two. So I've had all my metal taken out years ago, went through Hal Huggins, did all of that stuff many moons ago. I injured this tooth when I was like in junior high, it's the front tooth here. Mm-hmm. It was chipped off. So it's got a filling and it's bothered me on and off over the years, but nothing super major, but it's back bothering me. So I had to check it. And that's when they did the x-rays and found out and I know about root canals, but I know that it needs to be pulled, but I wanted to check with you because you were talking about the tomography or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And we did one a year ago when I was down there, but I know it's been a year and I don't know how to read it per se. I've got it here.
So I'll show you how to read it right now.
Okay.
And this is good for everyone because root canals, you're having, they kill the tooth and then they pack it with wax so bacteria won't get in there. And then hopefully you just have this dead tooth in there. Okay. Now, if it's affecting you, lymph drainage for the whole face and mouth drain to the right chest area.
Right.
So when you look at that thermography of looking at your chest and it's going to show the bottom of the neck down to the belly area.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that image. You're looking for asymmetry, okay, because we should be symmetrical, roughly. Okay. And if you see a lot of stuff on the right chest area, as opposed to the left one is where gut drainage. So people with leaky gut, people with digestive disorders, bowel disorders, it's going to be on the left-hand side. You're going to see a lot of crap there. Okay. But if it's coming from the mouth, you're going to see some hot spots in the dental area and hot spots on the right chest. And that's when you know that sucker's negatively affecting you.
Now, would the hot spots be red or would
it just asymmetry? It's going to be all the different colors. It should be uniform colors on both sides. Gosh. And it's not like just red or just yellow or just green, because that goes on how you're setting the machine. You're looking for asymmetry. So when I tell people to watch the look at the thermography, I tell them the colors aren't important. The symmetry is. Okay. So we need to find that symmetrical aspect. So if you get a picture, if you could hold it up to the camera.
Let's see if I can get it in there.
Yeah. So you've got more signals on the left than you do on the right. But you do have a hell of a lot of signals on the right. And then here, hold it up one more time for the headshot.
Oh, the headshot.
Yeah, drop it down a little. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. You got major hot spots on the mouth. And that's the smoking gun held by the murderer and the dead body down below.
So in other words, yeah. And he said possibly two root canals is what he was talking about. Yeah. So.
No, hon, you got to find a Huggins protocol dentist. They're not going to be suggesting that. There may be a way to save the tooth.
Okay.
Okay. There may be a way.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there I live about an hour or more from Tucson and there's only one that I can find. It doesn't say that the Huggins protocol one, she does do ozone.
You're only a few hours from Mexico. Just head on down there. I'll give you a coupon so it doesn't cost you anything. You'll get a no charge x-ray exam and everything because you're a patient. You know, it's like family, you know.
It's further than I don't drive. Remember when I was down there, I walked everywhere. Getting to Tijuana is a problem.
Well, in the 60s, we would always put our thumb out, stand on the edge of the road and be picked up by nice strangers.
Yeah, not anymore. So,
times have changed.
Yeah, I don't know. And cost-wise, I'm trying to decide. I'm really stressed out about it.
You can find a way to get down there.
Okay. I'm not trying to put up things, but I don't have a way to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get down there. Okay. It'll be a no charge exam, and then you got some more data to work with.
Okay. How long would I be down there?
Heck, one day if you just want to assess it.
Yeah,
but when you're down there, I'll give you another live blood cell analysis too, so we can see if the blood is being negatively affected by the toxins.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder if bus down there, or I can't fly bus, down there.
Plane, train. When you can, you land in Tijuana Airport.
Really? I'll have to research.
Yeah, the airport.
Yeah, I don't have a passport either. I'd have to look into that. I don't know anything about that. So I'll definitely look into it. I just.
Okay, my dear.
Because I don't want a root canal. I really don't want a root canal. Okay, second question. I'm seeing my fifth chiropractor right now. And I lost you. Are you still there?
I'm still there. Your internet's okay, on the funky side.
Okay. I've seen my fifth chiropractor. I'm not having any luck with the chiropractors here. I'm having severe pain down the neck, into the shoulder, of course, the lower back still, and the right hip. But this is the biggest problem right now, is up in here. The lady that I'm seeing right now, she really wants to know how to work on this. She wants to talk to you. She called your office on Wednesday and left a message. So okay, she would like,
we can,
really interested in what you're doing.
Chiropractors, this is going to sound weird. Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Wednesday afternoon. I can set up a no charge consult. I'll walk her through it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause right now she's not getting it at all. She's very sweet. I don't know if she's really that qualified to do the work that needs to be done, but at least got to give it a shot.
So. Sweet's a good start.
Yeah. But yeah, I know she doesn't do any of the stuff that you do or any of that.
When people ask me to be gentle, I say I can't be gentle. I'm going to be effective.
Right. Yeah.
We're pulling a splinter out, man. We got to get that sucker done. Do the neck curve exercise. Use the posture pump.
I am.
Okay, that's going to be a good start. Also, that foam piece. And this is going to help the neck thing. You know how you put it at the bottom of the elbow when you're sitting?
Yes.
That one, baby. Okay, here's an exercise. Get on a very firm surface, like the floor or a firm massage table. Put it right between your shoulder blades. This is going to it's going to hurt like freaking crazy. It'll feel like knives when you first do it. And then lean back on it. And hopefully your head will go all the way down to the floor as well. But deep breathe while you're in that. And that's going to take care of the hyperkyphosis of the upper thoracic area. And that should make a difference as well. Do it for about 5 minutes.
That's okay. Next question. I've been doing this at, three times a day.
Oh, okay.
But cool. Now.
Yeah,
whoop, I lost you again. Anyway, I've been doing it, three times a day. But now it's starting, what's happening is it's starting to crack all the time, and then it catches, and then it really cracks and it hurts. Yeah. And it's like, and my other chiropractor says, don't use it. And it's like, but because he says, because of your kyphos, it's pulling your shoulders forward. So don't use it. And it's like, I trust you. I don't trust him.
Well, what you do, cause girls are always aggressive. You pull down with no more than 2 pounds of pressure. And then you look up kind of like a turtle looking out of her shell. Okay. Yep. And then you look straight ahead and relax it. So it's just a gentle, gentle movement. And people will screw up is they'll pull down too hard or look back and not up.
No, I'm doing, I've got your video on it. So I know I was doing it right. This just started with all this pain, the cracking in the back of the neck. So
yeah, do it right after you lay on that thoracic piece. Okay. Between the shoulder blades.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, my dear.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you, hon. Oh, I miss you.
One last question. If I want to go down to Tijuana, how do I call your office or do I call down there? Or what do I do?
Call down there.
Call down there. Okay. Yep. And the number, can I get it from your, I assume I get it from your office.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's American Holistic Care. It's also American Biodental and Bergman Family Chiropractic and TJ.
Okay. All righty. Perfect. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I miss you.
Okay, dear. I miss you too. Jordan.
Hello. How are you?
Really good, my dear. How are you doing?
Not the best. Just two hopefully quick things. I'm going to quarantine because a few people at my job were positive with COVID. And, I have like sinus stuff and I went to call my doctor because the pharmacist told me, cause I never have sinus stuff or whatever. And my cousin was like, well, it's probably just allergies. One, and like, I do have a phobia of COVID and I'm trying to work on it with my therapist or whatever. And I wish I could be in more of these meetings to try to encourage myself. So I guess the one thing, I just need encouragement. I'm sorry for you guys who have to hear this again. Cause I was on a call with Justin, like, thankfully, cause I was on quarantine, I was able to do the call. Anyway, just like, I'm struggling. But so I never really have sinus or whatever. And I know PJ, a PH did recommend some teas or whatever. Like I went to the pharmacist cause like, I didn't even know how to handle this pressure because this is all new to me, like the head swirling congestion stuff. Anyway, they gave me some pills and I've taken them, but like, and it's also ear, like, pain bothering my ears. And so they told me, oh, it can be an ear infection, you know, go to your doctor. So I called the doctor to see if I can go in to see if it's an ear infection or a sinus infection. And they're like, oh, you can't come in. Those are COVID symptoms. But I did test. They forced us to all, we all tested at work. So after my manager, like, I tested negative. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my
together. Okay. So yeah.
COVID, I never had sinus congestion, so I guess that's the question. And then I think I'm overwhelming everybody with my fears.
Well, dear, no, you've been on the planet for more than a quarter of a century, okay? And you've never had a sinus issue or cold in your entire life until now.
Yeah, basically, I had post drainage when I was like 20. Post nasal drainage.
Darling, no, I'm bullshitting you. Okay. Oh. You have had colds before. When you were like 7 and 8, you had sinus issues and your grandma would give you chicken soup or, you know, rest and bundle you up and you'd sweat or you'd have a hot bath and you treated all those cold symptoms probably every 3-4 years. Okay. Since you were on this planet. Yeah. That's all it is. It's a cold. And the test to see if you have the COVID. Okay. Is completely inaccurate. It doesn't show that you're infectious. It doesn't show that you have anything. And hopefully you do have the COVID because you've had COVID in the past before. Okay. You figure 25% of all common colds are from the corona type of virus. So this is nothing new on the planet. The advertisement is and the fear is. So let's just get your body working. Do you have any oregano at your house? Okay. Do you have any eucalyptus trees out front?
No.
Okay. Order it through Amazon or something. Okay. I'm telling you, just take a handful of oregano leaves, put it in a pot. Okay. Pretty, you know, 2-3-4 quart pot. Steep it up so it's like a tea. And then take it off of the stove. Don't burn yourself. But you got the perfect towel around you. Put the towel over the pot so you're breathing it in. And then breathe out. Okay, so you're breathing it in. The warm, moist heat, viruses, funguses, and bacteria die at a higher temperature. Fear is going to weaken your immune system. So that, just breathing in will help. And then make a super soup. Okay, and this is what you do with every cold. White onion, garlic, turmeric root, black pepper, and a little bit of sea salt. And make that up into the greatest, most powerful soup. When you cut the turmeric, it's a pain in the butt because everything you touch turns yellow. Yeah. Okay. But that turmeric and black powder is the best, or black pepper is the best thing for immune systems. And then how's your sleep patterns?
I have not slept.
Okay. Look at our sleep. Yeah, because that's going to cause more anxiety. And luckily, the drugs that they give for sinus issues, like Benadryl or those antihistamines, mm-hmm. cause anxiety and stress. It says it on the label. So if you're taking that, typically they'll say, look, take this right before bed, and you're getting a chemically induced sleep, which interrupts sleep, which causes more anxiety. Okay, mm-hmm. so that's a shitty vortex that's sucking you into the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so look at our sleep restriction video. Make the super soup, okay? Breathe in the steam. If you can get magnesium oil, and this is stuff that they use for athletes, but put it on your chest and tummy. Wrap yourself in towels at nighttime when you sleep. And dear, you're going to sweat like crazy, okay? And if for every 1 degree increase in temperature, your speed of your immune system doubles. So okay. That's ideal. Okay, then this reprogram the subconscious. So look at our sleep restriction video where you're going to do journaling, reading, nightshades, and since you're in quarantine, totally bitching. This way you got time to do it. and look at our neurolinguistic programming. Okay, that subconscious right now, since you've had a chronic state of fear, is firing for survival. So if we were sleeping in a cave, dear, you'd be at the entrance. Okay. Our tribe would be safe. A leaf would fall and you'd be on that sucker. Okay. So now we got to change the firing of that. Now the subconscious learns through repetition, not emotions. So you don't, if you're saying, and it involves, I mean, just four things, body posture, volume, intonation, and breathing. And so you're literally going to be repeating it over and over. I am healthy. I'm dynamic. I am vibrant. I am strong. I am healed. I am good looking. I am hairy. You know, whatever you want to put in there. Okay. And you don't have to believe it. You could feel like shit warmed over. You know, your snot's coming out of your nose. You know, you feel all achy and everything. That's a common cold. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the only difference between COVID and the common cold is the COVID's a hell of a lot less damaging than the common cold. Okay, mm-hmm. The flu affects a hell of a lot more people than COVID, but no one's going to even check for that. So get the soup, treat it like it's a cold, you know, do the vitamin C, you know, get omegas in your body, you know, do everything that your grandma would do. Okay. Okay, just visualize grandma in the kitchen, chopping the onion and garlic and thing. And what would she say? Okay, baby, here you go. Watch an old black and white movie. Okay, bundle up. But that magnesium oil at nighttime is going to be the key. Heating up your body is going to be the key. Getting the nutrients, the antimicrobial, antiviral, antifungals from the onion, garlic, and turmeric root with the black pepper to help initiate it. Maybe get some quercetin and zinc. That's fantastic. Okay. That's just like, and this is all stuff you do for any kind of immune system response. And then if you can breathe in that, that's what I used to do with my kids. Fantastic. Those oils, the oregano oil or eucalyptus leaves. I mean, I'm in California, so we got tons of eucalyptus everywhere. You know, just put the leaves and seed just in there and it steeps, and that steam is antimicrobial. So you're just breathing it in. And the medical world for solving sinus issues or ear infections is completely stupid. They're going to give you an antibiotic, which destroys your gut flora, and that's where 80% of the immune system is. They're going to give you an antihistamines, which will suppress the symptoms and then make it worse later. Okay? So everything that they do suppresses your immune system response. When I want you coughing, I want you sneezing, I want this shit coming out of your nose, because that's how your body works. Okay. The cure for the common cold is actually the common cold's reactions. It's the fever, the coughing, and then you're going to get diarrhea, which alkalinizes the system. Don't you crinkle up your nose at me, girl. This is all a normal response. The cure for the common cold is allowing your body to go through this entire process. And then you're protected for life from this virus that you're currently experiencing and any similar viruses. That's how human beings work. You don't suppress the symptoms. You facilitate the body to wall off and get rid of it. And when you're taking that super breathing in that oregano, you know, steam, oh my God, you're going to breathe it in and you're going to be draining. It's going to be gross. Just be glad you don't have a mustache, because when that shit drains, it gets stuck. Okay, maybe that's TMI, but okay.
Thank you.
Okay, my dear, but do the neurolinguistic program. Honest to God, you emotions are chemicals secreted by how the brain perceives the environment, not what's actually happening. And I've been doing this every freaking day, okay, because I cannot let my emotions happen by chance. Just think of those yogi guys that can, you know, meditate and they raise or lower their blood pressure, okay? Yeah, you're going to be the same way. Yeah, because you master your emotions, you change your physiology. And there's only three things that you got to fix: physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. You're not going to fix your immune system response, which is normal and natural to every virus on the planet. We are designed to get viruses. 45% of your DNA is viral. Okay. And viruses transfer information. So this is a gift from God that you got sneezing and coughing and everything else.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, my dear. Okay, you're going to be good. Let me know how you're doing, though. You got to try that super soup, okay? And you got to try the oregano, okay? Even if you just do one of those, you're going to, it's going to, like, make your inside flow.
You say garlic, onion, turmeric, pepper.
Garlic, onion, white onion, garlic, and turmeric root.
Okay.
And just slice the heck out of it. You're going to be eating the turmeric root. You're going to be eating the onions and the garlic. Okay. Hopefully you're dating an Italian. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, my dear. You'll be okay.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless you, hon. Okay. PH.
Hello. How are you?
Really good, brother. How are you doing?
Good so far.
What's going on? Questions. Yes.
Two questions. The other day, excuse me, I saw your video regarding vitiligo.
Yes.
And stem cell therapy. Can you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, the key with vitiligo is to heal the gut. Okay, that's the big time. And the example that was used is actually my wife, Sarah. And she had 20 years of steroids, and she was taking 3 to 4 Advil every day for about 20 years. If you want to screw up your kidneys, your blood filtration, you want to damage the gut, that was the best thing that you could do. I mean, it was just like medical stupid on top of medical stupid. So healing the gut is the key. And with that much damage, it takes a lot of time. It's been taken about 4 or 5 years of healing the gut first. And then to help the pigmentation, the plasma-rich protein, or PRP, that's the standard vampire facial. Like, we don't recommend, Botox injections. Because I've seen some nasty Botox, you know, where you know, they're smiling like this, you know, it just destroys your nerves. But to strengthen the muscles, to eliminate the wrinkles and all the beauty stuff, and it does help pigmentation to even it out, plasma-rich protein is very effective. They call it the vampire facial, where they just shoot it all over the place. Stem cells are the next step above it. A stem cell is a cell that is magical. Okay. If any medical doctor in the world thinks that they really know what the hell is going on with human beings, explain a stem cell. Okay. Your body produces it at every age, and these stem cells can turn into anything they want. They can turn into a kidney cell, a liver cell, a heart cell. They can turn into anything they want. Okay. And they're drawn by inflammation. So when you're irritating the skin, you're putting these stem cells right underneath the dermis, you're creating inflammation, and they're drawn right there. So then they turn into skin cells. So it changes the pigmentation, but that is only superficial. The real healing is from healing the gut.
I see. Very good. Second question. I'll be going to Uganda in August, and I need an exemption certificate for that.
You got to find out. God, Uganda's beautiful. Okay. I mean, have you ever been there?
I was born there.
Oh my God. I've been wanting to visit it for forever. It's, if anybody doesn't know about Uganda, it's up like, what, that 4,000 or 5,000 feet in the air? It's right on the equator. It's got the environment is so, it's not tropical. It's just beautiful. Oh my God. Check their requirements. Okay. Hopefully you can get away with an exemption would be ideal. Okay. But it's really the host country that's going to have their restrictions.
Right. Where do I get the exemption?
Oh, I don't know what kind of exemptions the Uganda government wants or requires. And I mean, if they're anything like American government, the restrictions and rules change weekly. So I have no idea. And, you know, finding, if you can, there is a black market for fake cards. It's just, I don't know where to get those either. So, you know, well, so it's...
I was talking about it. Something I just got kind of, you know, hearing that well.
Yeah, just find the Uganda government's website or talk to somebody in their State Department and find out about exemptions. And tell them you've already had it, you have natural immunity, you know, all the other stuff. And just be careful about, oh, she's on the boat. Yeah, she's just liking the smells. So, you know, put religious exemptions, whatever you can.
He's sitting on his boat again.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Any other questions?
And PH, just from the peanut gallery here, this is Paul B. Searles, U.S. Coast Guard retired. You may...
Here. PH, any yes. questions? No?
No, that's all. That's okay. all. You were asked to Jordan about the oregano. And the other day I was talking to her and I told her that, you know, she can do the ajwain tea.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, there's tons of stuff that you can do. And it's all what grandma would do. I mean, you know, it's grandma's the best, man.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Ilya, are you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. So what's going on?
Yeah, I'm here. How bad is my service?
I can hear you. Can't see you, but I can hear you. So,
yeah, we got a pulse then. I wanted to ask a question, Doc. My wife is having some funny symptoms. Right now she has like pain in the back of her head where it connects the head to the neck, right? I think it's called the sacrum, if I recall correctly. So she's having a lot of pain there, and it's like causing a tingling sensation on her left arm and in the back also. And then her chest, too. She kind of feels like some pressure in her chest. And she feels a little bit dizzy. So this has been going on for about 2 days, I would say. We're trying to figure out what is that. Well, what can it be? You know, she had a massage done today. She feels a little bit better, but nothing major. You know, nothing that you can say, okay, let's not go to the hospital.
Yeah. So what she's got, the electrical burning, sharp, and shooting, those are all nerve compression pains. Going down the neck or going down the arm, that is coming out of the base of the neck. So she's going to have loss of curve in the neck, forward head carriage, probably a lateral deviation. Getting her to a chiropractor that takes an x-ray would be like ideal. And balance, okay, there's three things that maintain balance. Information coming up from the spine, so any neck problem can negatively affect that. Also, your eyeball on the horizon, which is the vestibular ocular apparatus. Okay, that's going to be negatively affected. And the cerebellum. And all of those things are on the base of the neck. And the brainstem actually extends down into the top part of the neck. So any pressure up there is going to be negatively affecting that. You got to get her. And the massage, her shoulders are going to be tight as all hell, because if her head's forward, those muscles are screaming to reposition that head. So look at our cervical health videos. I mean, if she can find a desk or a table or a kitchen counter to put her elbows on, lift her chin up and deep breathe, that'll help. But she's got a problem with the neck. She's got to get an x-ray and get it corrected.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm going to try to reach out to the chiropractor tomorrow. I had a feeling it was that. I just kind of wanted to confirm because, you know, the shooting pain. And the heart is also, I think, one time... we spoke about that too, that the heart is in the neck, right? It connects to the neck nerve.
And you got to figure there's two nerve supplies to the heart. One's at the base of the brain, and that's the parasympathetic nerve supply. The other is the top of the thoracic area. And so if the head's forward, the top of the thoracic is where the muscles that support the head stop. So neck issues are going to affect the sympathetic and parasympathetic supply to the heart. And that's huge. So
right now, until we get to the chiropractor, so you would say to do that exercise to try to restore the curvature back?
Absolutely. If she can, You know, like watching TV like this, you know, like a 12-year-old laying on the ground, that would be ideal. Yeah. If that's too uncomfortable for her, then she could do it just at a kitchen table, lifting her chin up, not back. If she can do it up, and if it aggravates those left arm symptoms, have her just reduce it a little. Okay. But when she's in that position, have her deep breathe. Deep breathing increases the intrathecal pressure and forces fluid in those discs. That'll help.
And if she has nausea, that's the same thing, right? She just asked me.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also, too, if she could even take like a dish towel or anything and pull it down so she has a pivot point and look up and straight. Up and straight, and those discs will start to fill up with fluid because the discs get their nutrients through movement. And so this one's static, this one's dynamic. Two different exercises, and literally it's just a dish towel. I mean, I give a really cool foam piece called a TheraCurve, you know, but it, man, you could use just a dish towel.
Okay. Try that, and should she like drink a lot of fluids? Any like we do get coconut water, fresh coconut water here, or like anything like that to help the discs.
Any electrolytes, coconut water is great. Just hydration is really great because she's hurting, so she's in a stress state. So that's going to help her a lot. And then when, you know, we've seen too many movies where left arm means cardiac issues. Oh, my God, my neck hurts and my arm hurts, you know. And then the fear factor of, oh, my God, my heart's breaking down, you know.
That's what she is. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because when you have that left arm symptom, if you take your head and put the right ear on the right shoulder, you're opening up all those nerves. And you'll see that the symptoms change. It may get worse. It may get better. Okay, that's not a therapy, but at least it clues you in to that it's not a cardiac issue. And you can even make it worse by putting the left ear on the left shoulder, okay, and having that aggravate. And then you can say, well, shoot, it's a neck issue. You know, you move the neck and the arm hurts worse.
How do you know it's not a heart attack, Doc? Like, that's like her biggest thing. She's like, oh, I think I'm having a heart attack. I feel my heart this way.
Heart attacks come from, when you look at the forensic analysis of heart attacks, okay, only about 20% come from clogged arteries. 80% of heart attacks come from the nervous system. And so knowing that the heart has two nerve supplies, getting that curve back takes the stress off of both of the sympathetic and parasympathetic. And you're going to see a good definitive example is bend the head one side, bend the head to the other side. If the symptoms change, okay, down the arm, then you know that it's a cervical compression. And electrical burning, sharp, and shooting, those are all nerve compression pains, not organ, viscera somatic pains, like heart attacks.
So you mean to tell me not all heart attacks are caused by heart disease and cholesterol, like they tell us?
I know. Yeah. The human animal is a really weak species. No. Being a human is really the goal of what we're the top of the food chain, baby. We're just not treating ourselves well.
Same, right? In the image of God. That's it. Perfect. Thank you so much, Doc. I appreciate it. Much love. Sending much love to you in Mexico, in California. I don't know if you guys got hit with the storm, with the flood over there. I know California, some part of Cali got hit like with a tsunami or something. So.
It raised the boat about 6-8 inches. It wasn't really fun. I mean, everybody, the surfers were really excited for it. It was kind of a nothing.
That's awesome. Enjoy then. Enjoy the beautiful sunny weather.
Okay, man. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
Marv, are you there?
I am. Hello, Dr. B. Good to hear and see you again, sir.
Brother, good to see you. What's going on?
I know him. Just because of so many videos.
I hear. Okay. What's going on, sir?
Anyway, I've been a fan for years of natural healing from various newsletters, emails, and things. And I came across you about 3 years ago. And not exaggerating here, but probably 60, 70% of everything I know important that actually works in natural health. I got from your broadcast on BoobTube, YouTube.
Oh, cool.
For the last 3 years. And you really gave me a newfound love and excitement about natural healing the correct way. Health
Thanks,
update.
Man.
It is true. I look forward to your Tuesday broadcast. You make my day. Anyway, health update. My chiropractor has tamed my TOS probably 90-95% under control after awesome. About 12-14 trips. I still have hypertension issues. It's still sky high after 4 months. I did everything you suggested, the breathing exercises, take the reading correct. I don't want to be back on a prescription chemicals, but I don't want to blow a gasket either.
Okay. Yeah. Well, high blood pressure doesn't cause a kidney damage or like they're talking about, because that way athletes who typically have massive elevations in blood pressure for long periods of time don't have organ tissue damage. And just think of like our species. You and me were running after the antelope. Our blood pressures are through the roof so that we can catch that antelope. And you say, look, I got to stop because my blood pressure is too high. No, you ain't going to get the friggin' antelope. Okay. So when you're checking your blood pressure, you got to diaphragmatic breathe 10 minutes with your arm level resting. If you're diaphragmatic breathing, and that means when you breathe in, that tummy comes out, you blow out, the tummy comes in. That's the key. Then look at the difference between the high and the low. Okay. That's the pulse pressure is way more important than any friggin' number. Okay. Cause as we age, the systolic, the first number, always gets a little higher because arteries lose that elasticity. And this is why, you know, it's kind of like, how come cholesterol doesn't clog veins? They only clog arteries. Okay. Even though we're checking the blood by drawing it out of a vein. Okay. So because the arteries is totally different, it has elastic tissue and muscular tissue in it. So it has a spring ability. As we age, that spring ability gets less and less. It's kind of like a boxer running up against the ropes and bounces off of it. Well, not a boxer like those wrestler guys. Okay. And as we lose that collagen production, because as we age, we produce less stomach acid, the elasticity of the arteries get a little bit less. So the difference between the high number and the low number will clue you into the efficiency of the blood. Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. And what I've noticed in these past 3-4 months is that, it seemed for about a year after I got off the chemical, BP medicines, the blood pressure is basically under control with a lot of supplements. But lately I can't bring down the second number, the diastolic, and the spread has been 40, 50, 60 points. It's a big spread. I can bring down the first number. I can't bring the second one down.
Oh, no. So the difference between the high number and low number is like 40, 50, or 60?
No, it's actually as high as 50 to 75.
Okay, yeah, that's actually close. That's in the ballpark. Okay, because you want it. 40, 50 is in the ballpark as we age. 40 to 60 is in the ballpark. And that just means that the blood is the efficiency of the blood. Because blood has to, I mean, figure it regulates the immune system. It balances pH. It carries oxygen and carbon dioxide. And so if those red blood cells are healthy, and this is why when you take those supplements, the blood is better. So if you're increasing, if you have good hydration and you're getting 2 to 3 bowel movements a day, beautiful. Then you're doing okay. If you have 1 bowel movement a day, it means your body is still in a stress state. And that could be from poor sleep patterns. Like if you're getting up at night, your blood pressure has to be higher under that stress. So if you're sleeping through the night, not getting up to pee, waking up fairly refreshed in the morning, bam, that's a good sign that you're regenerating at nighttime. If you're getting 2 to 3 bowel movements a day, that's a good sign of your metabolic activity or function is taking in nutrients and eliminating waste products. Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. And I will try to refine again what I'm doing and refine my breathing, practice it, and to take the readings, as you said. I'll refine it.
Yeah. It only happens like 100% of the time.
And think, are you looking too far?
Just a little humor. Back in high school, when we were told to run track and whatever in gym, I and a couple other guys would always duck out to the library.
What happened?
I was just a little humor that back in high school, and it's partly true, that when the coaches would make us run for track or other exercises like that, I would duck out to go to the library. I wouldn't take antelopes. That's the kind of guy I was.
That's okay, man. I
love your examples, though. I never thought about chasing antelopes down, which I guess once upon a time our forefathers did.
They had to. They had to
get food.
Yeah, and you're not gonna. It's like when the people say, "Oh, high blood pressure causes headaches." No, that's foolishness. Headaches will cause an elevation in blood pressure because it hurts. You know,
well, I've been getting a lot of headaches, but I noticed that the muscles in the back of the neck, which I try to put magnesium chloride on them and get some relief, but they don't go away.
Oh.
A lot of the muscles in the back of the neck are constantly stiff. I'm constantly getting headaches.
Oh bitchin'. Cool. Cause that's ideal. It clues you in. 97% of all headaches come from the neck. The magnesium and creams and stuff you put on there is not the solution. That's going to relax the muscles, temporarily alleviate it, but make the symptom worse. What you're doing right now is brilliant. You get the chin underneath, lift that up and deep breathe. You're going to get the curve back in the neck, and that's going to relax all those muscles.
I keep hearing you telling people to do that, and I heard and wrote it down again today, and I am going to start doing that more and more, because these headaches are just about every day. I go to sleep with them. I wake up with them. I can't be popping aspirins like candy. I can't.
Yeah, well, that's not effective. I mean, aspirin increases your risk of stroke and increases kidney damage and damages the building product of all your joints. So, you know, I'm not going to do, you know, you can't do something poisonous to your body.
No, I realize that, and I'm not going to.
Yeah, but that getting that neck curve back and finding a corrective chiropractor, someone that takes an x-ray, says, dude, this is what we're seeing here. And then takes a stress x-ray to say, hey, we can fix this.
Well, the chiropractor that I have, I like him very much. And he did take care of the COS. He is working on my Atlas each time I come, which the previous chiropractor 3 years did not. And actually was hurting my TOS. Yeah, I'm happy to his chiropractor, and he is working on me, and I will keep telling him the symptoms like I've told you today. He is addressing them, but it's taking some time.
Yeah, do that exercise 5 minutes, four times a day. It only works 100% of the time.
Because I never heard before today, as many times as you've said this, that getting the curve back takes the compression off those nerves to the heart. And I do have a little bit heart arrhythmia.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna love that exercise. And you can even, if you have some human like sitting around, put their head in extension and feel the muscles on the back and say, okay, now try and tighten those muscles. They won't be able to, because when that head's in extension, all the muscles relax.
It's just too simple to believe, but I believe you. And I trust you. It's just too simple to believe. Nobody ever says that. A number of weeks ago, my hiatal hernia was stuck in the up position for days on end. I was really hurting. Went to a local clinic, and that physician there, a little old Indian doctor, he was just shocked that I was on no medication of any kind. And twice he asked me, would you like me to prescribe you something? And I said, no, I don't want anything. And he was palpitating me and feeling around my ribs and my stomach. And I said, it hurts there. He couldn't help me. I left $160 poor, went to the chiropractor 2 days later. That chiropractor I'm using now knew exactly what to do with the hiatal hernia. He relieved it, and I've been good since.
Yeah, and also, did he show you the trick of putting your left hand as a fist and put it right underneath the rib cage? And you breathe in, blow out, you push in right below the rib cage on the left-hand side, and you pull down, you pull it in and down, you're literally going to be moving that stomach, the hiatus of the stomach, away from the diaphragm.
I remember you telling other people about that, and I need to try that. I've been good since then, but definitely it was a hiatal hernia that was stuck in the opposition, and I was just hurting. And this regular physician could not help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, you wouldn't accept his help. His help was toxic medications.
Well, he was stumped. He was shocked that all of nothing at my age. He was just shocked. Final, what I have to say, suggestion. I'm an email newsletter with a wonderful doctor by the name of Dr. Lindsay Bergstrom. And she's a physician, an author, a speaker, and I think she's a scientist. She's got a bunch of books out. She's an expert in hormone therapy, so much so that she's come out with numerous protocols, too, that the other doctors use. She's 60 years old, and she looks 35. This gal is something else. She always, even in her emails or in a live video interview, she's just so perky that she leaves a positive impression. What happened to her that when she was very young, she got all kinds of extreme health problems because of chemical prescriptions her mom took when she was pregnant. It wasn't thalidomide, but it was pretty nasty stuff, whatever, so that Dr. Bergstrom was had all kinds of health issues, serious health issues. She decided to take matters in her own hands and learn everything she could about the body, about hormones and whatever. And she actually beat all this stuff. She literally looks 35, 39, and she's 60 years old. And I'm betting that doctors like her would love to be interviewed by you. And if I could suggest that if you would, during this scandemic, I have come across so many doctors that were deplatformed, fired, censored, smeared. And you know most of them, I'm sure, like Dr. Pierre, Paul Marek, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, all these people, or Dr. Peter McCullough, that I'm betting that they would love to be interviewed by you. You're at the top of your game. You're a very smart fellow in your profession. And because they're being interviewed by people less smarter than you, I'm betting that they would welcome if you were willing to interview these people and kind of share it, sort of like you do those short little spots with the success stories in the Tijuana clinic.
Yeah, we're doing a lot. We're doing a weekly, every Thursday, I'm meeting with people. Okay. And like 4 weeks ago, we had Robert Kennedy. We're trying to get as many speakers on there as possible. And exactly. it's got to be on the doctor. Yeah, it can't be on YouTube or anything else because the information we're talking about is censored.
Right.
But yeah, man, I'll take her name. Yeah.
What would be the best? We gotta
get more of this information out, brother.
What would be the best address to send you my list of suggestions and their actual contact information?
Oh, whatever Justin has in place.
Okay.
That's going to be the best one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send a list. Send a suggestion, probably a dozen or so, and I'm betting you know 99% of them. Personally, if not, you've heard of them. And if you could interview them to share on a podcast for the rest of us, that would be so wonderful.
Okay, man. Buddy, I'll get on it.
Thank you, sir.
I needed more stuff to do.
you are a blessing. You really are.
God bless you, brother.
Oh, what was the name?
Okay, Richard.
Hi, Dr. Bergen. Richard here from England.
Hello, sir.
Hi, yeah, you're all right. I tried logging in last month, but I was having some difficulties with Zoom, so I'm here instead. I've got three questions for you. Acid reflux. When I'm laying down, specifically in bed, I'm finding that the acid is actually getting into my lungs somehow, and it's causing the lungs to burn. It's like I've never experienced a burning sensation like it. The red light therapy did help to a point, but the doctor's given me some anti-acids. Yeah.
And, that'll make it work.
But they're helping with the symptoms. But I know you've mentioned about lowering stomach acid before, and what the implications of that can be.
Yeah, well, lowering stomach acid, because you've got a diaphragm, you've got an esophagus, the food tube that pierces that diaphragm, and right underneath that diaphragm is the stomach. And the big round part, it's the fundus, okay? So, or the hiatus. And that's right. The hiatus means like ending, okay? And with that diaphragm being weak, the part of the stomach pooches up inside of that diaphragm, and that loosens the lower esophageal sphincter, which is where the reflux comes from.
Right.
So too little acid, and that muscle on the top of the stomach, on the bottom of the esophagus, increases in tone under nerve pressure.
Right.
So if, or under presence of acid in there. So betaine hydrochloric acid is a good supplement to take for no more than a month, but let's fix the mechanical distortion.
Yeah.
So diaphragmatic breathing several times throughout the day will actually start moving that organ tissue around. And this is one thing that we're not taught, but diaphragmatic breathing is one of the most important things for gut health.
Okay.
And so this is when the way to practice it is put your hands on your tummy and push in and blow out. So just visualize somebody punching you in the stomach. Cause this is what I tell my patients. I said, put your hand there, cause I'm going to punch you in the stomach. And they go, what? But you know, that's the only way you can start to understand that your tummy goes in when you blow out. When you breathe in, your tummy's got to come out. So it's like a bellows at a blacksmith shop, okay? And that diaphragmatic breathing will move the lymph flow and will move the organ tissue around. That'll help. Then an immediate effect will take your left fist, ball it up, put your hand on top of it, right underneath the rib cage on the left side, just a little bit off center. And you breathe in. When you breathe out, you push it in and you turn your fist like this. So it's going inside, you turn it, and then you pull down. And you're going to do that about 3 or 4 times. So, and you pull it down. So you're physically pulling that stomach away from the top. So if you do that 3 or 4 times, you're going to see an immediate relief in the reflux. And if you're diaphragmatic breathing, you're going to strengthen that diaphragm. That's going to help. You get the curve back in the neck, which is where the nerve to the diaphragm comes out of. That's going to help. And just in the short period of time, you want to increase your stomach acid and not decrease it. So increasing the stomach acid with betaine hydrochloric acid just for like a month. You don't want to do it longer than that, but just for a month, we'll knock that out.
Okay. Shall we try some notes? Okay, yeah, so I don't forget. When was it I spoke to you last November? I said to you that I was going for a virtual open day for a chiropractic course down in Bournemouth, which is the other end of the country for me. Yeah, that went really well. And I was just wondering, could you recommend any chiropractic books, any that I can like read up on?
Stevenson's book on chiropractic, it's one of the older ones and one of the best. Stevenson's book on chiropractic, that's like the best. There's a lot of good data. Chiropractic biophysics, they've got a good amount of data, but I'm not a real big fan of every part of their technique, but they're really good. That's about it.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's me.
Thanks, okay, brother.
Appreciate that.
See you, man.
Great.
Jim.
Hi, guy. How you doing today?
Really good, man.
Hey, I wanted to, I've been listening here, but there's a lot of talk been going on about your cervical curve and exercise. And I just wanted to give you a praise report on that. I actually started out with your towel thing at first, but I overdid the time and the strength pulling, and I heard it so much that I stayed away from it. But I started doing the hands on the chin thing, and I started feeling relief. And I was always having a lot of trouble with pain down in my shoulders a lot, and even went to an ER one time thinking I had a heart attack. And a doc had a good doc, and he said it was my nerve in my neck. And this, since I started doing your watching TV thing, I've been doing it for about 3 months straight now. I had to, you know, you get away from it, but I, every morning when I get up, go to get up, or like when I go to bed, I just get over and get on my knees and kind of stretch out my lower, but I then do the chin thing as well every day. And about the last month or so, it's just almost completely every issue, the feeling, the headache, anything that's going on has completely been gone for a long time.
Yeah, baby.
And it's helping. And another big thing too, I find, is the hydration. If I get to, I don't drink enough, that helps. But just that chin exercise is magnificent. There's a lot of people. One guy even says it sounds too simple. Well, it is. It works so, so good. I don't have the I've even saved a couple people from surgeries. My sister, one of them, from rotator cuff surgery by having her mess with her neck. And makes a big difference. So I just wanted to pass that on and let people know to stay on it and do it regularly. And it'll help you with all kinds of issues down your arms, your shoulders, and even into your chest. So,
Man, God bless you. People need to know that the design of the human body is so brilliant that it's designed to thrive on this planet. And those little simple tricks is how the body works.
Exactly.
That was a great testimonial.
Great. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you much.
See you, brother. Barbara G. Barbara G. asked to unmute. Barbara, hello. Yeah, you're there. Hey, dear.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for being here. I've actually been following you since 2017 because I had sciatica and I couldn't move, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do anything. So I found you by accident and it really helped me. And so I've been following you ever since. And I haven't taken any medication since then either. But at the moment, I have bursitis on my hip. I believe that's what it is because I was diagnosed with that once before on the other side.
How fast do you want to fix it?
As quickly as possible.
Well, okay. Yeah, hey, I'm telling you because demanding women get what they want, okay? Okay, bursitis. Okay, itis means inflammation.
Okay. Yeah.
First, here, check this out. Oh, my God. If that doesn't warm your soul. Yeah, I've got a new puppy a week ago. Okay, so bursitis. Itis means inflammation. Bursa is the bursa sac. And every muscle attaches to a bone via a tendon. Now, when you move those muscles, okay, they can create friction. So around that tendon is this sac that's filled with bursa fluid, which is a super filtrate of blood. So it means that the joint is desiccating or drying up. So we've got to rush blood to the area to increase it. So the health of the blood is hugely important. Healthy hydration, electrolytes, all the other stuff. So as long as you got a good diet, you get 2 to 3 bowel movements a day, that's fantastic. Yeah. Knowing that it's on the hip, knowing that it's on the hip, there's going to be a pelvic instability. So ask your chiropractor for a trochanter support. What country are you in?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. A free state. Okay, yeah. Yeah. You might be able to be here. Yeah, you're the envy of every Australian, dear.
I'm sure.
Okay, so getting the blood healthy because that's what filters in there. But yeah. Knowing that the hip is hurt and your gait's going to be off, so we need to stabilize the pelvis with a trochanter support. Some states you can order the trochanter support online, like on Amazon or something. You might be able to find it at a sports store, but your chiropractor should be prescribing it.
Yeah.
And that's just going to start fixing a lot of the problem. Look at our pelvic health video. where you're going to turn sitting into therapy. So that's going to restore the lumbar curve and take pressure off of that. So we got to restore the biomechanics of the hip. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And this is fixing the cause of it and the health of the blood. Those two things are the cause of it. But I'm going to tell you a quick trick to feel better in, what do you think, a minute, minute and a half? Get a damp cloth and put it in the microwave, okay, or one of those seed bags, and you apply heat directly on that joint.
Yeah.
Directly on that joint. And, hun, within 30 seconds, because, I mean, think of this. If you put a hot cloth on your arm and take it away, your arm's red or pink, right?
Yeah.
That's because the brain senses that difference in temperature and increases the blood flow to the area, which is going to increase the superfiltrate of bursa fluid in that bursa sac. So you're increasing the inflammation in that joint. And that's why the medical solution of anti-inflammatories for bursitis is it's close to the dumbest thing you could possibly do. Okay. You know, injecting it with cortisone is the dumbest. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories is second dumbest. You know, moist heat to increase the blood flow and increase bursa sac or bursa fluid production makes sense. Okay, but stabilize the pelvis. Look at our pelvic health video because you're going to see there's calf exercises in there to change your gait. There's ways to sit with using a water bottle, you know, a quart water bottle. It's at the bottom of the elbow, the bottom of your is the bottom of the bottle. So it's right at the junction of the thoracolumbar junction. All of that's going to fix it for forever. That bursitis is not a problem. Bursitis is an alarm telling you there's a problem.
Oh, okay. I've actually managed to improve the pain. It's very much less now during the daytime, and the main problem that I have is that as soon as I lay down, I can't lay on that side. It hurts too much.
That's why you got to stabilize the pelvis, fix the nerve supply, blood supply. But dear, you just put that hot pack on that sucker before you go to bed, and it'll feel better.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's wonderful. I'm ready.
Okay, my dear. Take care.
Okay, thanks very much.
Lynn Sadler. Lynn, yes, are you there?
Hi. Yes, hi. Thank you. I have just this dull pain that's developed like on the right side in the front, just on my lower ribs. And I put castor oil packs on at night and it feels pretty good. But then during the day, it gets kind of, you know, just annoying.
Okay, cool. Have you had your gallbladder removed?
No.
No.
No surgeries that way except for eyes. That's it.
Hey, you got all the parts. That's what's cool.
I do.
Okay, there's also under stress, and this is physical, chemical, or emotional stress. Stress hormones are released in the body. And they go and they have their function to do what they're supposed to do. But then they're filtered from the spleen to the liver to process the blood into bile. And so in the gallbladder, gallstones are formed from concentrated stress hormones. Okay. Mm-hmm. But also under any kind of a stress, there's a gallbladder sludge that develops. So because the bile is supposed to be, I mean, really, you know, flowing. It's supposed to not be like a milkshake. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, right in the middle of your solar plexus, like where the ribs come up and the sternum comes down, slightly off to the right side of that is this C-shaped thing called the duodenum. And what we'll do, we'll have the patient breathe in and breathe out and go in kind of on the left, go across underneath the ribs, and then go back around in a C shape, kind of like shape, you know, just like what you would do with your hand. And you're going to feel at the top of that C shape, like a line. And that's the common bile duct. So that will decrease some of the discomfort almost immediately. Okay, that'll decrease the discomfort almost immediately. Mm-hmm. But also diaphragmatic breathing. And I'm talking like 10 minutes multiple times a day where that tummy is going out and then in. That's going to move the organ tissue around. But those two things will correct the stress response.
Okay.
Okay. And you could also do some moist skeet on there too. But that movement of that lymph is, and normally when you're doing a soft tissue organ work, you want to go up on the right, across on the left, and then down on the left, because that's the way the large intestine works. But this one, it's right in the middle, and you'll see it right in there. And when I'm pushing in, like this is the body here, I'm going down about an inch and a half. So you're going pretty darn deep. And if you can, do it when you're laying on your back and your legs are bent. That will relax some of the abdominal muscles. And that's, and if you have a chiropractor that's skilled in organ adjusting, that's going to be ideal.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, my dear. Let me know how you're doing.
Thank you.
Leanne.
Yes, sir.
There you are, dear.
Here I am. Cool. Got a couple questions for you. First of all, I can't seem to quite get my lymph to drain. I'm still dealing with these swollen lymph nodes that I can't do anything with.
What location are they? Where are they?
Mainly in my armpit regions, and I've had it for years, but I've been working so hard, but I just cannot seem to do anything to get it to move.
Okay, which arm? Left or right?
Both.
Is there more one than the other?
Not really. For years, I had it only in the left, and then the right one started being the same way. So,
cool. Okay, good. That's the clue. Okay, lymph drainage, and lymph drainage for the whole gut area drains to the upper left quadrant. Uh-huh. So you had a gut issue. Leaky gut, in fact. Okay. And that's the contributing factor for those. Lymph on the right side is dental and pulmonary area. So you may have like a cavitation where an old extraction was. There may be some kind of dental toxicity is leaching into the right side. A full body thermography will clue you in to the source of the problem. But the lymph, and you figure lymph nodes, their job is their immune system related.
Right.
And so they swell up under a toxic environment. So you've had some type of a chronic gut issue that's leaching into the left side. And look at dental and pulmonary toxicities leaching into the right side. And on the thermography, you got to find somebody that'll do it. And you just need 4 shots of it. So we're going to look at the front, and you're going to look at both sides of the face and the back. And then we're also looking for the liver triangle, because based on toxicities, and this is why also 85% of all breast cancers are on the left side, because people are eating stuff that poisons themselves, and 15% on the right side, because that's more dental toxicities and pulmonary. So when we see that, it's going to clue us into the toxicity. But if we see the liver triangle on the front, that means that your body is working its tail feathers off to detox the system. And that's normal. But if we see the liver triangle on the back, that means that there's a hell of a lot of work going on, okay, with the liver. And that means the blood's not healthy. And it means that you're reaching the limit of your body's ability to detox. Okay. So a thermography and a live blood cell analysis will clue you into the source of this. And and you could also help the lymph nodes by just putting heat on it, because that's going to rush blood to it. It's going to also, because these are lymph nodes, they literally wall off toxins. I mean,
right. And I understand that. And that's what they're supposed to do. So, but just to try to get things moving. Yes. I use my rebounder every day, and I juice, I blend, I've been working on the gut. I know I have a leaky gut, but I just don't seem to get any progress. I don't know why, but
okay. Look at the sleep, and this is going to be weird, because to heal the gut, look at your sleep patterns. Okay. Make sure you do the sleep restrictive therapy, so you're sleeping through the night. Look at the emotional component. So you're doing the I am or neurolinguistic programming, 2-3 times a day. Look at walking and diaphragmatic breathing. Those are the best ways to move lymph flow. And then look at fermented foods. Get as much bacteria in that gut as you can. Because the thing with leaky gut is it's the hyphae that's produced by the molds and funguses and yeast, because they actually bore holes in the intestinal tract, then undigested proteins get, and then that causes the bowel inflammation. Now, okay. Bacteria eat those guys. So the more bacteria you get in the system, the better. So probiotics, prebiotics, and fermented foods and that diaphragmatic breathing and everything will knock it out. But when you see that thermography, it will blow your doors off, because you're going to see, okay. Oh, wow, there it is.
All right. Okay, one more question about myself, and then I have a question about my sister. But my other question about myself is, about 6 months or so ago, I noticed I have like a sunken in ditch running down the center of the top of my scalp. And it's just weird, because it's like you would think a baby's soft spot. And my husband said, what in the world is wrong with you? Your brain is caving. It's like, I do have one in there, but so any idea what would cause something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. This is one thing that doctors, and this is in every profession just about, are taught, that your skull plates fuse, and uh-huh. And none of that's true. And the way I teach doctors to break them out of the stupid ignorance is I tell them to put their finger on the bridge of their nose and touching the top bone up here. Uh-huh. So it's just resting there. Then with your tongue, push up on the hard palate and relax. Up on the hard palate and relax. And you'll feel those bones move.
Uh-huh.
Now, skull adjusting, okay? Which, I mean, I learned from a master, Dr. Turner, and is hugely important. We check skull plates on everybody. Now, where you're describing, it's up here, and yeah. That's literally the sagittal suture, where the parietal bones come in. But there also could be an occipital bone. There could be the frontal bone that could be off. There could have been an old head trauma. But every time you breathe, those plates move. And so literally we will assess to see if there's tenderness, see if there's inflammation, and we'll move those skull plates. But also the neck, okay, if you have loss of curve in the neck, pressure literally builds up inside of that brain, because you have this fluid in there called cerebral spinal fluid that's produced in this choroid plexus in the middle of the brain. And that, because the brain functions totally different than any other part of the body. The brain doesn't use blood. It uses a super filtrated blood called cerebral spinal fluid. And if you have loss of curve in the neck or a lateral deviation, that fluid can't flow. Okay. And so pressure literally builds up in there. And if you feel a tenderness along that ridge there, that means that the meninges, because the meninges, which is the covering of the brain, and there's three of them. The outside layer is called dura mater. Okay, dura means tough. Mata means mother. So you got this tough mother covering. I know. Can't you just see the Greek guys sitting around say, dude, I don't know. But that dura mater invaginates up through that suture. Okay, and so tenderness means that there's pressure in there, ultimately coming from the loss of curve in the neck. So you got to get a chiropractor that's skilled in skull and spinal correction, and you'll knock it out pretty quick.
Okay. All right. That handles me. I just have one quick question about my sister. She had an MRI because she has really bad headaches. I mean, like debilitating headaches. And they told her she had like scattered foci in her MRI, and that the partially empty cella, and they wanted to take, and it was just like gloom and doom, and this is so bad, and wanted to take some kind of medications, and I don't know, it was just insane. And I said no, we gotta ask Dr. Bergman, because he'll know what to think about that. So
oh no, dear, you have to follow the science. It's medication deficiency syndrome.
Exactly.
How the public got duped into this, a toxic chemical that has a myriad of effects, then they call them side effects. Okay, 97% of all headaches are coming from the neck. Okay, so she's going to have a structural problem, which will not show up on the MRI. The MRI, inflammation distorts the image, and the body position distorts the image. Okay, so she needs to get an X-ray And I sent Justin a bunch of the x-rays that we use to static x-ray, stress x-ray, and a picture encompassing the neck and the thoracic area so we can see if there's a lateral deviation. That is the key. She can, because we know she's going to have loss of curve in the neck, forward head carriage, probably pressure on the brainstem. So a corrective chiropractor that says yes to at least 5 of the 7 questions will be able to assess the problem. It's not medication deficiency syndrome, right, and actually correct the problem, because her body is smart. It's given symptoms for a reason. Mm-hmm. And she's also going to have a stress state, okay, because pain, and this pain, if it's pain bad enough to go to an MRI, you know her blood pressure is going to be elevated. There's going to be a bunch of things. So look at the medication that she's taking, because if they put her on like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes medication, her blood's going to be thick and unhealthy.
So yeah, just, they haven't yet, but they told her to take prednisone for the headaches, and it made her sick as a dog. So she said, I'm not taking that anymore. But, I mean, she's just one of those people that, you know, oh, if the doctor said take this, then I probably should.
Yeah. We're living in a weird world. The steroids weaken her immune system and it decreases swelling. Her adrenal glands already produce a steroid called cortisol. Okay, that is fantastic. So she is in a stress state. Okay, the headache is not the problem. The headache is a clue to a dysfunctional system. That's the red flashing light. And so the doctor is putting a black piece of tape over the red light. Okay, it's just dumb on top of stupid. So identifying the actual problem will help. Okay, and finding out why she's in such an adrenal dominant state, an adrenal fatigue state, why her body can't produce the natural steroid, then we're looking at physical stress, chemical stress, and emotional stress. Right. All three of those got to be addressed. Okay, the headache is not the problem. The headache is a clue to a dysfunctional system. Physical stress can be identified on the x-rays. Chemical stress could be identified by looking at a live blood cell analysis or thermography. And emotional stress, that can be addressed by reprogramming the subconscious. What she is, and this is how you can communicate to her, because I know her mindset, where if the doctor says it, I got to do it. You know, you're just a health nut. Okay. No, I know that fear and anxiety.
Right.
Her bowel movements. She should have 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. She's going to have 1 if she's lucky. Uh-huh. Her sleep patterns. She only gets up 1 or 2 times at night to pee, and then she goes right back to bed. Yeah, that means her sleep sucks. Okay. Right. Okay. When she looks at her foot, you're going to see a bunion formation. More than likely, the big toe is going to be leaning towards the other toes because of there's going to be an unstable pelvis, which is the most common. Knowing that she's got a neck issue, and that's where headaches come from, she's going to be in a sympathetic dominant state because the adrenal glands aren't working. So we already know, based on her symptoms, okay, right, that there's going to be some major problems with her body to regenerate tissue.
Okay. All right. I will relay all those things. I thank you for your help.
Okay. God bless you, dear. Thanks for taking care of her.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too, dear. Lydia. Lydia's iPhone. Are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, my dear.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited to be here. I've not been on one of your live calls before. And
How do you like it so far?
I love it. Yeah. And I listened to you on YouTube, over the last couple of years. And that's how, and then I learned about Extreme Health Radio. So I've listened to, your presentations and all the things that you present. And I love what I've learned. So thank you for all that.
It's good for me to get feedback because I just have fun talking to people. I didn't know that people found value in it.
It's so interesting. And I love all the questions because, a lot of those questions are things that maybe some of my family or that I've experienced with my health or, so it's valuable. I really appreciate this. But I have 2 questions. Yes. I don't think they're related, but they could be. So one is that I have really bad insomnia, and my doctor has prescribed me trazodone for the side effects for sleepiness and doesn't always work that great, and I really don't want to be on it, but I don't know what else, you know, what I need to do. I think I need to dig into some of the recorded calls a little bit more on the platform. But and then the other thing is I have this constant ringing in my buzzing in my head. It's not really ringing like tinnitus, because it's not in the ear, it's my head, and I just don't know what that's all about. But that's been going on for a couple years, and I did have all the mercury taken out of my mouth because I thought maybe that had something to do with it. But any suggestions?
Yeah. So let's just fix it. Okay. So when we're looking at, there's only three stressors. There's physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. The trazodone, do not read the side effects.
I know.
Okay. Right. The side effects are anxiety, stress, sleeplessness. I mean, it's foolishness. Okay. But knowing that there is a stress response, okay, we got to get a digital x-ray of the whole body to find out if there is a physical stressor. Right now, you're talking to me like this. So I know there's a neck issue, and that's going to be one of the sources that's tinnitus. The sleep patterns are huge. And that's why one of the things that we talk about is to change your circadian rhythms. And there's a thing called sleep restrictive therapy that works really, really good. It only works 100% of the time. And this was studies out of Glasgow, Scotland. And I'm talking people that haven't slept in 30 years. Within 5 days, they're sleeping through the night. Okay. But that, if you're not addressing the underlying physical stress, chemical stress, and emotional stress, you're missing part of the picture because we're all sitting on a three-legged stool. Okay. The sleep is huge because that's when your body regenerates. There's nothing more important than sleep. That's why, you know, that I always tell patients and students that tomorrow begins the day before so that you can prepare your mind and sleep and everything else. But once you've addressed and looked at the x-rays, you've looked at nerve scans, which is what we do. Once you look at, like, say, a thermography to look for chemical stressors as well, all of those tests, the nerve scans, x-ray, thermography, a blood analysis would be fantastic. So if you could see a live blood cell analysis, and this is all the shit that we do at our clinics. But that way you got a good objective analysis of what your body is going through. And okay, you got to see this. Do you see the puppy over there?
Oh, what a cutie. Oh.
Yeah. She's scared to death. She's trying to jump down, okay, and get into that boat. She loves being in that boat. Okay. Because if you're wondering what I was looking at, I was making sure. And she did it. That's her very first time. Okay, good.
Oh, adorable.
sorry to interrupt, but that was her first time jumping down on her own. So look at the stressors. So once you're addressing the stressors, then I can tell you the trick to reset your circadian rhythms.
Okay.
Now, there's high disease rates at 9 hours or more sleep or 5 hours or less sleep. Optimal human function is 6.5 to 7.5 hours. This is a 3 week long or 21 day exercise to reset your circadian rhythms. And as long as you're addressing the underlying stressors, okay. Then this stuff, you know, because you can trick your body to sleep. Okay. But your body goes through 90-minute cycles called rapid eye movement or REM state of sleep. When you complete that cycle, and this is the cycle when your body is like in a coma, okay, you're not moving. When you complete that 90-minute cycle, your eyes open, then they close. And so if there's any visual stimulus, like if you could see your hand in front of your face, bam, the fight or flight system kicks in, and then you got to get up and pee or roll over or uncomfortable or something. So you got to take out the visual stimulus. So that's going to be Manta eye shades are the best. They fit small noses like yours and big schnozzes like mine. They got little Velcro things in there, and they're small so you can sleep on the side. They don't move around. Then take out the auditory influence by getting a white noise machine. And this will be like rain, ocean, or just like shh. But embedded in it, we want a frequency set at 528 hertz. Now, each tissue in the body responds to a certain frequency. Like, we'll use 10 cycles a second to loosen ligaments. We'll use 60 to stimulate muscles and 100 to affect the nerves. A sound frequency of 528 cycles allows cells to transfer nutrients better. Now, if you can also, that when you're sleeping, and this is the most important aspect of physiology, your body is regenerating tissue. You're also tearing down tissue. So you have this oxidative metabolic process where you're breaking down and building up tissue at nighttime. So if you can sleep on an antioxidant surface, and that's a grounding surface, and look at earthing.com. You only need the quarter sheet. It costs like about $100, but it plugs into the wall. So you're sleeping on an antioxidant or grounding surface. This is literally connected to earth. You're probably in like Arizona or Colorado. Where are you?
Colorado.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can tell by the clock on the wall you're an hour C, so it's a mountain time.
Yeah.
Good guess. So you can't sleep on the ground in Colorado right now. It'd be a bit cold. Yeah, so this way you're always sleeping on a grounding surface. But now we gotta trick the brain. Because have you ever laid down and your brain is bouncing ideas back and forth?
Oh, all the time.
All the time. So you're gonna journal. But the journaling is going to be a little different. You're going to write down what you did that day, what you're going to do the next day, and any emotionally charged event. Not a whole bunch, because this is just hacking in to the subconscious. So that quiets the overactive mind. Now, this works on my patients with Parkinson's and MS. I mean, their hands shaking like crazy. You can't read what they're writing. But the fact they're thinking a thought, putting a mark on a paper, quiets that mind. Then you have to read a paper book 15 minutes before bed. And not electronic devices, computers, TV, cell phones, and plus staring at a screen passively hypnotizes the brain. And if you're not doing anything and you're being programmed or hypnotized by some media before you go to bed, that's not conducive.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you got all the basics. You're going to journal. You're going to read. You're going to put the nightshades on, turn the white noise machine on. And this prepares the mind and prepares the environment. So now, like if they told us when we were kids, you know, honey, when you go to bed, your body regenerates. Holy shit. I wouldn't have watched the last couple cartoons. Okay. I always wanted to be strong and healthy. So this way, you know that sleep is your tissue regeneration. So for the rest of your life, how we get to 120 years old healthy is we regenerate every day, every day. That regeneration is the key. So now, high disease rates at 9 hours or more sleep or 5 hours or less sleep. Optimal function is 6.5 to 7.5 hours. For the next 21 days, we're going to limit your sleep to 6 hours. Okay, for 21 days. Now, think of this. Okay, so journal, read, nightshades, bed at 10 to 10:30, out of bed at 4 to 4:30. And then you go like gangbusters all day long, no nap. Now, the first day you had 3 hours of sleep, got up twice to pee. You make it to 10:30 the next night. Okay, journal, read, nightshades, bed at 10 to 10:30, out of bed at 4 to 4:30. And this is miserable. The first 3 days sucked because lack of sleep has a similar effect as alcohol without the fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so your reaction time is going to be impaired. But then you make it to the third day and your journaling is like, Bergman's right about some stuff, but I'm different. I'm special. I need more sleep. No, dear, suck it up. Okay. What do you think is going to happen by the fifth night?
I'm going to be exhausted.
And you're going to sleep through the night.
Yeah.
You're resetting your circadian rhythms. 100% of people within 5 days are sleeping through. But it's like baking cookies. You cannot leave an ingredient out. You have got to do everything.
Okay.
Now, after 5 days, you slept through the night.
Okay.
What?
Oh.
Okay. After 5 days, you're sleeping through the night. You maintain that pattern for 21 days. So now you've reset the habit pattern. Now, for the rest of your life, after 3 weeks, after 21 days, for the rest of your life, you're going to do the journaling, reading, nightshades. Okay. Rest of your life, you're looking at sleep tissue regeneration. Or you're going to sleep until 5:30. Lazy. Okay. Now, the reason, and if you're working at nights or, you know, a lot of people do, like they're truckers, pilots, you know, flight attendants, you know, nurses, optimal is to be in sound REM state of sleep between 11 and 1 o'clock. because we have certain circadian rhythms and we're an animal living on our planet. And that is the optimal time for deep sleep for tissue regeneration for our species. Okay. Yep. And that's why people at work nights, you know, they call it graveyard shift because they die early.
Yeah. I believe that. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, my okay. dear. And look at our sleep restriction video or our sleep videos. I've got like half a dozen. They've removed, four videos last week, that have been up for about 2-3 years. The censorship is strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't know how long my channel is going to be up, but,
yeah. Oh, look at that. Do you think that has anything to do with this buzzing in my head all the time?
The buzzing in the head is tinnitus, and that's going to be from the neck more than likely.
Okay.
Or the blood toxicity. Or it could have been loud noises in the past, like explosions or headbanging rock music or something. But that one is damaged to the cochlea. That one is hard to repair, but the other two are really easy. So two of the three solutions are correcting the mechanical distortion.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Okay, my dear. Thanks for your input. That was cool.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay. TK.
Hey. Good morning, Dr. Bergman. How are you?
Really good, brother. What's going on?
Good. Hey, so I'll make this quick, guys. I just want to say real quick before I get to my question that my dad is actually the one who introduced me to you. I want to say probably almost 8 years ago.
Oh,
and
cool.
He passed away a couple years ago, but before he did, he introduced me to you about 8 years ago. He goes, hey, I want you to get on YouTube and type in Dr. John Bergman. And he goes, this guy is going to be your new best friend. He goes, because anything that you think you're feeling, any symptom, he's like, just type in his name, type in what you're going through. More than likely, he has a video on it. And I mean, probably past 8 years, I've been watching you consistently on YouTube. And I'm a member of Extreme Health Academy. And It was really cool, man. So
thanks.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay. I'm going to high five your dad because he's, you know, that spirit world's still around.
Absolutely. It was amazing. So my question is, my wife and I, I want to in the very near future, hopefully be able to bring my wife down to your office, your clinic in California, because her spine is curved up pretty good. So she has some scoliosis and she's been having headaches for a really long time.
Okay. I'm sure with scoliosis, that human beings naturally have a curve in the front, a curve in the mid back, and a curve in the low back. Mm-hmm. Scoliosis, they're missing most of the 100% of the curve. If not, it's reversed. So just to start decreasing the headaches, have her get that, look at her cervical health video to get the curve back. That'll decrease it. And okay. So it'd be a quick fix in the meantime.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Awesome. I will. Yeah. So hopefully I'll be able to get her down to you pretty soon so you can get her fixed up. Okay. So to my question, she's also, she had been on birth control. She's on birth control pills for years. Finally, she got to the point where, you know, she didn't like the effects that it was having on her body. And so now we have two daughters. The youngest one is 6. We do not want to have any more kids, but we are looking for an alternative. And the question, I guess, is what should we consider about the two options of either her getting her tubes tied and maybe any health side effects that might come along with that, or me getting snipped and any effects that may have on my body long term, and just kind of trying to decide which route we should take.
Yeah, there's the three methods. Okay, the tubes tied, that you're causing an inflammatory response of the fallopian tube, which generally is mild if the person's healthy, and then it's usually not an issue. Getting a guy cut, okay, your testes still produce the sperm. And so there could be an inflammatory response in the testes. Some people say it increases testicular issues, inflammation of the epididymis, things like that. But really, if you have a healthy pelvis, healthy blood, healthy everything, you're going to be able to withstand that trauma.
Okay.
The other one is called Ovaview. I think it was Ovaview. Where you literally can map out, because she's only fertile like 2 to 3 days a month, and sperms live like a couple of days.
Okay.
So you got, so figure that's 5 days. So you got 25 days of partying like rock stars. and then you got to be a little conservative for 5 days.
Right.
So, but really, as long as you're, looking at physical, chemical, or emotional health, you're going to be able to withstand that type of operation fairly easily.
Okay. For either one, whether it's the two sides. Okay. Okay. Great. And then that shouldn't be an issue. I mean, her scoliosis, that doesn't really come into play too much as far as what we're discussing with the.
Not really. And the key with scoliosis is her ligaments are 2.5 times more flexible than normal. Okay. And she's going to have, the most common is a right rotation on the rib cage and a left rotation on the lumbar. What she will have is pelvic issues. Okay. And if you look at her foot, her big toe is starting to lean towards the other toes. And so getting her a trochanter support. What state do you live in?
We're in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And Antifa member? No, you're not in Chaz? Oh, no. I know. I got a bunch of patients from Oregon. I give them shit, too.
it's rough up here. It's rough up here.
Okay, we got to get her a trochanter support because that's going to make her feel so much better. Because the two kids, that's trauma, but everybody with scoliosis, since they have the altered mechanics, sitting for long periods of time might be uncomfortable for her. And that's going to be, it's so simple, and it only costs like around $10. Any chiropractor will be able to get it for you, or you can get it on Amazon. And look at our pelvic health video to start stabilizing that area. So when she's sitting, we're going to start to restore the curves, and that'll make sitting, it's going to add to her, because she is exhausted at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And knowing that scoliosis, to correct the lateral deviation, you restore the front to back curve. So sitting with this water bottle or foam piece at the bottom of the elbow, bottom of the ball, and you'll see it on the pelvic health video, hugely important. So okay. that's gonna help her so much.
Okay. And how do you spell that? What is it called again?
A trochanter support. TROCHANTER, I think.
Okay. Trochanter support. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for coming these questions, man. You're amazing, man. You're a blessing. Thank you.
Buddy, you made my day. All God right. bless you. And all thanks right, to your you. Thanks to your dad.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Bye.
See you, man. Margaret, are you there, hon?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, thank my you. Dear. What's going on?
I had a fall off a ladder, and I didn't break my foot. At least I don't think I did. But it's taking time healing, and I'm wondering if there are certain things I can do to help it heal faster.
Absolutely. Now, when you say okay, and I'm not going to say like all the guys that I grew up with. It wasn't the fall, it was the landing. Okay, I won't say that. Because that'd be just sarcastic and rude.
Okay. I hear you.
Okay, now, when you're looking at the foot, is it the outside edge where the little pinky is, the pinky toe?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
it's the outside, and it goes extends up to my ankle and kind of goes under the foot.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so was there a dark area around the middle of right behind the pinky area? Any dark area on the top or bottom of the foot there?
On the top, it kept going lower and lower until it reached my toes.
So more than likely you had a dancer's fracture. Okay, and this is the fifth metatarsal. Now, I've had two, one mountain biking and one sliding into a paintball bunker. Okay. Yeah. So real familiar with it. Okay. Best thing to do is gas pedal your feet. Now, how long ago was the injury?
It's about a month.
Oh, cool. Then the baby's healed. Within 4 to 6 weeks, bone heals. But what you can do is gas pedal your feet now. Okay. That's going to be the best. There's also, we got to look at the biomechanics of that. If your chiropractor can look at the talus bone, the way your ankle looks like, you've got a U joint that has the tibia on one side and fibula on the other. And this bone in the middle called the talus. And anytime you've had altered mechanics, and I don't mean you injured the talus, but the most common sprain of an ankle is you're injuring the anterior talofibular ligament. So that's the ligament that attaches there. But knowing that your gait has been off because it hurts, okay, they got to check that talus. And setting that talus will start to restore the biomechanics of the foot.
Oh,
great. Once the talus is corrected, then you can get a golf ball and just roll it all around the bottom of your foot. And that's going to help lymph flow. It's going to help some break up some scar tissue, because if it's bleeding, you know, once you break a bone, it literally bleeds like skin. Mm-hmm. And that's where that dark area, and that's why I was asking to see if there actually was a fracture. So that's huge. The golf ball, have the chiropractor set the talus, and gas pedal your feet. Okay. As much as you can, and hydrate, get as much fluid in there as you can. Then look at our pelvic health video, because there's a stretch for the calf, and we're using a 4x4. It's just 3.5 inches high, where you're stretching your calf for 1 minute. And I always tell people, put it right where you brush your teeth. So this way you're getting it, you know, a couple times a day. But that stretch will help the soleus muscle, which is on the back of the calf. And that's a pump. And so that's going to allow blood to flow down and blood to flow back. So you get that good fluid transfer, and that'll help heal the foot way quicker.
Wonderful. And I'll definitely do that, because it feels almost like a nerve something, and I'm having trouble walking downstairs. Somehow my left leg just doesn't quite want to do it, doesn't want to get the strength now. So I need to do something to normalize my gait.
Okay. Yeah. And that, knowing that it's been 4 weeks, get to your chiropractor. Okay. Have them check your pelvis, and you may need a trochanter support for a couple of weeks. They're only about $10. I mean, even a chiropractor is charging like $20. Uh-huh. We always give them away, you know, just because you're only going to need it for like 2-3 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. But that fall injured, if you're hitting hard enough to break a bone in your foot, let me tell you, that force was translated up the leg, into the pelvis, into the low back, you know, so looking at the whole body is a smart move.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much, Dr. Bergman.
Okay, my dear. God bless you.
To you.
Well, I think that's all the questions. Yeah, nobody has their hand raised. So,
hey, Doc?
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm not tech savvy enough to find the hand to raise it, so please forgive me.
Could you repeat
the name of that mask you talked about, the sleep mask?
Oh, Manta eye shades, Manta eye coverings.
Thank you. And just a note to, I appreciate you more than you can know. I appreciate that very much.
Buddy, God bless you. And we have the same technical skill. Because I really don't know how to even raise my hand if I was going to ask a question. So
I clicked on everything and I couldn't find a hand. So,
buddy, we got through. God bless you. Okay, so anybody that's technically efficient, okay, or deficient, okay, that couldn't raise their hand. Any other questions? Going once, going twice.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, Barbara G. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I had my gallbladder out.
Yeah.
What kind of things could I do to support my health since I don't have that anymore?
Okay. Have your chiropractor check for gallbladder sludge. Okay. And that's working the duodenum where the bile duct is, because you're still producing bile. It's just, it's not stored and concentrated in that gallbladder. So you have to get fats every meal. I'm talking a little bit of avocado oil or avocado, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of coconut oil, because, and that's because you're constantly, the liver is producing bile. And that bile is supposed to only get squirted into this duodenum area when fat hits it. And so the constant drip, drip, drip of bile can cause a duodenal ulcer. So, and also knowing that it's the only way that you can make hormones is that you're emulsifying the fats with the bile. So hormone problems like hair and skin issues, those are going to be super common after gallbladder's removed. So increase your fats as much as you can with each meal. Have the chiropractor check for gallbladder sludge, okay, because that can be an issue. Then look at a diaphragmatic breathing to help lymph flow in that area. Mm-hmm. And that's just when you breathe in, the tummy comes out, you breathe out, the tummy goes in. And so look, diaphragmatic breathing is the key for gut health. Then look at sleep pattern changes. Okay. Look at physical, chemical, and emotional stressors, because the only reason a gallbladder was an issue was that you had physical, chemical, or emotional stress in order to create the stress hormones, which form the gallstones in the gallbladder that cause the removal of it. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So in a lot of times in beer, when we see people with gallbladders that have been removed, mm-hmm. and they're not addressing the underlying stressors that cause the removal or cause the dysfunction of that gallbladder. Okay. Which, I mean, gallstones you don't need to remove the offending organ. Okay. You can take care of the gallstones naturally.
I know that now.
I know. I know that damn hindsight is 2020. Yeah. But increase in the fats and look at the three stressors or the causative factors, and then you've got a good life.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, my dear. Okay.
Hey, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Hi,
James.
Hi. Thank you. I just have an observation and perhaps a question. Maybe you could address in some future video of some sort. But I just read a fairly long book from someone named Don Lester and David Parker. They wrote this book called What Really Makes You Ill, Why you thought you knew everything about diseases wrong. And it's a fairly well-researched, pretty deep book. It's about 800 something pages. And the basic premise is that, the germ theory is a myth. And I believe you subscribe to that on some level, but they take it even further and suggest that germs, parasites, fungi, any pathogen actually does not cause any type of disease whatsoever. So
that's true.
Talked a little bit about it, but I feel like sometimes, and it's probably just a comprehension problem for me, that perhaps there is a connection to, like, what is a pathogen? But if a pathogen doesn't exist, it can't cause disease. So I'm a little confused by that. And I'd like to know if you know anything about the book, and then in general, what do you think about that basic idea?
Yeah, the book I haven't read, the germ theory, that's why they still call it a theory. One of my instructors said, you know, when you see dead flies or flies on a dead body on the side of the road, did the flies kill the body? No, they're there to clean up the dead tissue. Stefan Lanka, okay, and this is a biologist, had a 100,000 euro reward for anyone that could prove that measles exists and that measles virus causes measles. And they proved in that we're talking German Superior Court, all the Koch Institute, which is like super high in the medical world. Nobody could prove that measles virus exists or that measles causes measles. Okay. So in my communication, I can't talk about, because people, their minds would shut down. I got to talk about the existence of viruses and the existence and not talk about exosomes and talk about certain pathogens. And the pathogens are only there to clean up dead tissue. Okay. I mean, and it's like 10 people walking through a swamp. They all get bit by mosquitoes containing malaria. Do they all get malaria? No. Because you have this mythical immune system. An immune system is just a way that we can describe how your body can adapt to the environment. okay, and get that information transferred from environmental stimuli. And you can call them viruses, funguses, and bacteria, but really it's almost impossible to isolate something, because of the way a virus is, the leading scientists in the world say it's not alive. Okay, it's a well-organized molecular parasite. So in the theory is that if you get an RNA or DNA virus, it's got to use your RNA or DNA to replicate. And then if you are lucky enough or find some acceptable recipient who's got a weakened immune system, in the theory, it's going to utilize their RNA or DNA to replicate. This is why, as a virus goes through the population, it gets weaker and weaker. Now, that's one theory that I disagree with. Okay, but this is what the idiots that are running the science boards now are proposing, and they say, well, this COVID has an RO factor of 1.4. You know, so that means that you can give it to two more people and then they can't be infective anymore. So if that was really true, there should be a way to gauge, are you the first, the primary person, the secondary, or the tertiary person? And so that breaks that narrative down like friggin' fast. And then you look at people currently, okay, with the comorbid conditions, you got to have 3.8 comorbid conditions to actually succumb from this supposed virus that they haven't really isolated. It's like the last health talk I do, and I got to divide my health talks up into what I think is going to go by the censors and what needs to be put out in the public. And they talk about, well, the best research now, okay, shows that this virus was never isolated, okay, and for sure it was never isolated when they developed the protein for the PCR test. So, and the PCR test is completely inaccurate for identifying infectious, for identifying an infectious agent. And the protein that it's looking for isn't specifically to this virus. This is why, I mean, back in 2020, the president of Tanzania tested a goat, papaya, and something else. And I think the goat and papaya came back positive. Yeah, so it's not looking for that protein sequence, but it literally, immune systems are how the body adapts to the environment. Viruses, if they even exist, and I think mainly it's your body producing that this proteins to clean up dead tissue. So if you have a shitload of dead tissue, you're going to have that cleanup process. That's why when you get a common cold, what's the cleanup process? You're replacing the mucous membranes. Okay. You're replacing a lot of the lining of your lungs because you're coughing this stuff up. You're replacing the gut flora, so you get the diarrhea. So all of those are adaptive responses to clean up dead tissue.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I like the delineation of the way you communicate. I think that's important because I do think people can get shocked into some aspects of the truth that can be traumatic mentally, right? And when you kind of go too far, too fast, if you know what I mean.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. In today's environment, holy shit. You can't say, look, viruses don't exist. Yeah. Tell that to the 800,000 dead. You know, dude, switch to decaf. Okay, brother. Well, God bless you all. That was fun. Okay. I hope everybody had a good time, and I hope some of the questions were answered. We're going to be, I think, the last weekend of February, because the third weekend in February, I'm flying out to Thailand to teach a seminar and to talk about setting up a clinic in Thailand and Beijing. So that'll be kind of cool.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck getting there and good luck coming back. I'll see y'all. Awesome. God bless you.
Safe journey.
Bonne journée.
Thank you so much. What a great show.
Outstanding. God bless you. Safe trip.
He's the best.